Good morning and welcome to service this morning. Joshua is away, he'll be away today of course and next Sunday, so he'll be returning the week after next Sunday, so hopefully he'll be here in a couple of weeks' time, which will be really good to have him back. But good morning and welcome to everybody who's here, and welcome especially to our visitors, and also welcome to those who are watching online, those who are at Littlewood Court, and those who are watching on the catch-up service. It's good to have you amongst us. I'm going to give you a few of the intimations. There have been intimations coming up on the screen. I wonder how many of you actually look at them. Yes. Now, what was the third one that came up? So just to draw your attention to some of them, one is that the loaves and fishes are still looking for volunteers to do various things like shopping and helping out in the cafe itself. So if you really fancy helping out there, it's a really lovely atmosphere in the Loaves and Fishes. The whole team works together very nicely. And it's a really good outreach to our community. If you want to take part in that, speak to Suzanne when she's back from being on holiday in Turkey. And then let her know that you would be very interested in helping out. There's also the shoebox appeal. I will draw your attention to that, because the shoebox appeal is collecting materials that go over to the Eastern Europe, and particularly Romania. And the closing date for that is the 23rd of October. Everyone thinks that because it's a Christmas shoebox appeal, that you got until sometime in December, but it's actually 23rd of October. Where do we get information for, where do we get the leaflets from? Does anyone know that's here?
I think it's Margaret Webster.
It's Margaret Webster, is it? Okay. We must make sure we've got some in the church that people can pick up. Have we got any in the church, you know? Haven't seen any. But we'll make sure that information is here, and it'll also be information in the magazine, I'm sure. The other thing that I want to draw to your attention is that next week after the service we'll have our monthly time of prayer for the church group for God's work in this area, and that's been taking place immediately after the service, or just after the tea and coffee after the service, and it'll be for a period of about 10 to 15 minutes. We started this last month and we had 11 people attending, which was really very good. So really encourage you to take part in that as you can, because praying together, coming to God and seeking his will and giving him our petitions is a real part of fellowship and a real part of growing closer to God. Also, just say again about the Bible study. Bible study meets on Monday evenings. It's led by Will Buckland and myself. It's not a heavy time. It's a time when you can really get round a passage in the Bible and think about it together. And the whole idea is not one person teaching, but actually learning from each other as we ask questions, as we make comments, as we come up with ideas. And it's always that you come away from the Bible study understanding more than you thought you were going to when you went into it, because of the way people have got different ideas and different approaches. So we would really encourage people to join us for the Bible study. It's at 7:30 on Monday evenings, and we are running it online at the moment. It's actually logistically easier for people who are dispersed to come together online. And, you know, it really is a great time of fellowship. And I just mentioned as well, there's a special session meeting on Thursday at 7:30 when we'll be looking at the presbytery plan. So the presbytery plan is something which is going to affect us and affect the groups that we're joining into. And it will be a hybrid meeting. So please, and yes, it'll be here and online. Okay, with those intimations given, let's go through the call of worship. And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Amen. We're going to continue our worship by singing the song, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, the immortal, invisible, God only wise. Lord, in this week when we've been remembering our Queen, we've been mourning her death and celebrating her life. And we've been celebrating her faith and giving thanks to you for her faith. We thank you that together with herself, our faith is in you, the immortal, invisible, God only wise, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator and sustainer of all things. You alone are holy. You alone are righteous. And yet, Lord, in your grace and in your mercy, you have come into the world to save us from our rebellion, from our sin. You have brought in your redemption through the amazing death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus our Lord. We thank you that you, out of your great love for your creation, have brought about that redemption, that salvation. Lord, as we come to you, we know that we're not worthy of you, and yet we worship you because we can, because you invited us to do so. We pray that you will forgive us for when we have failed you this week, as we know we will have done, whether intentionally or not. But Lord, we thank you that you restore us and bring us into fellowship with you. Lord, as we come together and worship you this morning, whether here in person or watching from home or watching on catch-up, we pray that we'll be aware of your presence and that you'll guide us, that you'll lead us, that you'll encourage us, but Lord, that we'll love you more and love each other more too. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's nice to have children here. I'm just going to put this on so I can talk to you. One of the hardest things about doing a children's talk is trying to get this on without getting tangled up in it. Have I managed it?
It appears I haven't.
Now, one of the questions I was going to ask the children was, how do I put this on? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Could you put the words of the next song up for the children, please? So I'm going to ask you about the words from this song that we're going to sing. Now, the words of the song are from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Now, what do you think that might mean? From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Yes, Louise. Say that again, sorry. Okay, from the sunlight begin until now, okay. And what were you going to say, Matthew? You've forgotten what you were going to say. Oh, well, never mind. Now, if I said that my sister lives in Australia and the sun rose there probably about 10 hours ago. Our sun rose here at about 7 o'clock this morning. Did you see the sunrise this morning? You did. I didn't. But I'm told that it rose about 7 o'clock. So the sun rose in Australia, say about 10 hours ago. It rose here about 3 hours ago. It's probably getting dark in Australia now. It's going to get dark here in about 2 hours' time, looking outside, in about 7 hours' time. And then where Joshua is over in America, it's going to get light in probably about 8 hours' time. So, and will be dark by the time he gets light. So where does the sun rise and where does the sun set? Yep. Okay, and where is that? That's all around the world. The sun keeps rising and keeps setting. So actually from the rising of the sun to where it goes down is all around the world. So from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Okay, so that means all the way around the world, the Lord's name is going to be praised. What does praise mean? Okay, but what does praise mean? The word praise. It's a word we use a lot, but what do we mean by it? I could ask the adults there, couldn't I? What do you think praise means? Hold on.
Glory.
Glory. Glory. Oh, okay, that's a good word, isn't it? Instead of praise, glory. What do you think praise means, Joshua? That's really phased you. He's made his eyes cross. Anyone know what? Come on, I'll ask the adults then. What does praise mean? They're stumped. Isn't it a good question? Well, okay, I was hoping you were going to give me the answer. Okay. Sorry?
To show gratification.
Show God?
Gratification.
Okay, yes. So gratitude, yes. Yes, so you celebrate. Yeah, it's a good word, isn't it? So you show gratitude to God. You say thanks to God for who he is and what he does. And you also say thank you for just being, you know, just being you. And we worship him
So we say, you really are great, you're fantastic. So from the rising of the sun to the going down, we give thanks to God and we worship him and we praise him for being so great. So all around the world. Now, where did the message of Jesus start in the world? Which country, do you remember? Where did Jesus live? It's just a tiny country. Well, Bethlehem and in the country?
Bethlehem
as well. That's where he was born. He lived in the country of Israel. And Israel's a tiny little country. So how did everybody who was worshipping Jesus in Israel, how did that message get all the way around the world? How did it get there? Well, how do you think? Okay. Well, that was a very complicated answer. It involved aeroplanes. Now, they weren't actually invented in Jesus' time, but they are now, and people do use aeroplanes to take the message of Jesus around the world, so it's a good answer. And actually, it's because people told others, and they told others in different countries, in the neighbouring countries. And so the message of Jesus has gone all the way around the world. And from that time until now and forevermore, we're going to be praising God. It's giving thanks to him and telling him how wonderful he is. So that's what we're going to sing now. So we're going to stand and sing the song From the Rising of the Sun to the Going Down of the Same. So now you know what it means. And we all know what praise means. Very good. Fantastic families group over at the church centre. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love the children and that when you are on earth, you bless the children and you let them come to you and freely hear from you. I pray that you'll bless the children and you'll bless their time together and that you'll be there amongst them. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12, and then 16 to 20. And I see some of you have got Bibles, so I'll give you some time to find it. There are not many Bibles left in the church these days. Okay? Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them, two by two, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet will wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen. And thanks be for this word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jeff. We're going to sing a song which I don't think we've sung here very often, if ever before, in fact.
Never.
It takes me back to my university days. It's about sharing the message of Christ, and it's about how you can start with small things, but then it develops. So just as the message of Christ started in Israel and is spread around the world, so in our community, we can start with small things and let the word of God build and bring in his kingdom. So it only takes a spark.
Sing the first verse, and then we'll go back to the beginning to start from verse 1 for you to join in. Okay. It's,
Thank you.
wasn't very hard, was it? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us the Bible and that we can come to it so freely. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand it. I pray that you'll guide us and that you'll help us to understand you more and to follow you more closely. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As those of you who have been here will know that over the summer months, Joshua has been taking us through the Exodus story. And each week he has emphasized that the Exodus story is Scripture's fundamental story of deliverance and salvation for God's people. And it sets a pattern for God's redemptive work throughout all Scripture and history. And then last week in a recorded message, Joshua reminded us of the story of Samuel and the essential need to be silent before God, to wait on him and listen and respond to him when he speaks to us. So thinking about those things, when we think also about the biblical history of the Jewish people, we know that it's marked by times of prosperity and peace and other times of disaster. The good times followed their faithfulness in listening and obeying God. And the disasters occurred when they failed to listen to God and followed their own sinful ways instead. But despite the ups and downs of the Jews' faithfulness towards God, God faithfully continued to work out his plan of redemption through them, and that, of course, led to its climax in the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. History, and indeed the fact that we are gathered here today, shows us that those who have listened to Jesus and accepted him as Lord have been faithful. They heard, listened, and obeyed his call to go out and make disciples of all nations. And as a result, the salvation Jesus won for us continues to spread beyond the Jewish people to include people from nations across the whole world, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. The mission given to his people, his church, in the generations that followed, is to continue to bear witness to his salvation in order to extend Jesus' kingdom. So how do we in Chemnay play a part in this mission? It's a good question for all of us. It's also a challenging question. When we are confronted by it, all sorts of objections might occur to us, because we are part of this church, aren't we? We may say that we just don't know where to begin to share the good news. Where do you start? Where do you start? We may think we don't have the technical knowledge we need to witness to the good news. We might be fearful of saying the wrong things or getting tongue-tied or not knowing how to respond to counter-arguments. We may also fear being rejected as foolish or naive. In addition, we may believe that only certain people have the gift of being able to share the gospel. So let them get on with it, and then the rest of us can do what we need to do. I'm sure we can all relate to at least some of these objections. But are we right in holding on to them? They're justified in us asking the question, but should we hold on to them and use them as an excuse not to take part in God's mission? So what we're going to do, we're going to look at aspects of the story that we read from Luke 10 to see what the Bible teaches us. We will then look at an approach promoted by the Church of Scotland to help all of us, and I mean all of us, to share the love of God and his salvation with our relatives, friends, neighbours and communities. Doesn't that sound good? Scary, perhaps. But we'll have a look. So we're going to look at the story of the sending out of the 72. And if you look at the story, what's the first thing we notice about the 72? In verse 1 of chapter 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town. First of all, they were appointed by Jesus and sent out by him. Appointed by Jesus and sent out by him. It wasn't the idea of the 72 to go ahead of Jesus into the towns he was about to visit. It was Jesus who initiated the action. It was Jesus who sent them. I can't emphasize this enough. Sharing the gospel, the good news of his salvation through the cross, is God's work and his initiative. The 72 were sent by Jesus as his ambassadors and his agents. So this is God's work. It's not our work primarily, it is God's work. But he sends out his ambassadors in order to complete that work. Furthermore, Jesus sent them in pairs. Why did he do this? Well, he knows we're human beings, and he knows that having company shares a task, and that as people we need the encouragement and the active support of others. Sharing the gospel is not an individual task. It's something we do together. It's something we need support from others, and whether directly by them being there, or by knowing when they're praying for us, or knowing we're praying for them. It's something we share. And what did Jesus tell them about their mission? Firstly, in verse 3, he told them something which didn't sound terribly encouraging, really. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Doesn't sound encouraging, does it? Lambs amongst wolves. Jesus knew that this was not an easy task. Indeed, just like lambs amongst wolves, they would feel very vulnerable. Nevertheless, he was sending them. And then Jesus added, do not take a purse or bag or sandals. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. So when Jesus sent them out and said, you're going to go out as a lamb amongst wolves and don't take any provisions, just depend on what you find out there. What was Jesus telling them? Well, he was telling them they were not to fear opposition, and neither were they to worry about how they were going to manage daily needs, because he would provide for them in both spiritual and practical ways. And Jesus was confident of this because of the confidence given him by God the Father. And this is very true for us today. Jesus does not expect us to hear his call and do our best to follow it. He promises that he will provide absolutely everything we need, both spiritually and practically. He knows what we need in each situation, and he will provide it. That's his promise. So Jesus sent them and promised to take care of their spiritual and practical needs. But what were they to do? In verse 8 and 9, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. The message that they had to bring, no matter how they brought it, whether healings or whether it was other means, didn't really matter so much as the message, the kingdom of God is near you. That is the message that has been passed down the ages since, and we have that same message. The sending of the 72 was, of course, prior to the climax of Jesus' mission of redemption. So when we declare that message, we declare it in the knowledge that redemption has already been won through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and by the sending of the Holy Spirit to dwell among and within us. So our message, the kingdom of God is near you, has even more potency because it now includes the good news of redemption achieved rather than redemption anticipated. From verse 10 to 11, we see that Jesus knew in advance that some would welcome the 72 and others would reject them. In verse 10 to 11, Jesus instructs them, but when you enter a town and are not welcomed, note he says, not if, but when, go into the street and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to your feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. The 72 were to expect that some would accept and welcome their message and others would not. That should not deter them. The message remains true and remains urgent. It is the same message whether the hearers accept it or resist it. We can't make people accept the message, but we can give them the message. It's God's work. Some will accept, some will not. We just have the mission to tell people the message. And Jesus explained the significance of these responses in verse 16. Not in relation to their impact upon the ambassadors, as important as that might be, but in relation to himself and the one who sent them. When he said, he who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So just as the rejection of a nation's ambassador represents the rejection of the nation that sent them, so the rejection of God's ambassadors represents the rejection of God himself. Remember, the sharing the good news of the kingdom of God is God's work, and he chooses to charge it, to discharge that through his ambassadors, the people of his church, us. So, going back to the story, what was the experience of the 72 ambassadors? They returned with joy and they reported, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They were excited and full of joy. They had seen power at work. But most importantly, they realized that this power came not from themselves, but came from Jesus. It was not their abilities that led to these results. Jesus responded to their joy by confirming their message about God's kingdom when he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Jesus had given them amazing authority, and even Satan was falling. Satan's kingdom was crumbling. What could beat that? But in verse 20, he said, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The tremendous experiences they had were the direct result of obeying Jesus' instructions, but some of them would be passing experiences. What was even more important was their relationship with Jesus, and through him their relationship with the Father's. Their names are written permanently in the book of life. That is the real lasting gift. And building on this foundational gift, the purpose of their witness is to testify to that salvation and eternal life, and that those are on offer through faith in Jesus. So was this experience a one-off? Was it a special event to herald the message of Jesus at the time of his life on earth? Or does it have something to teach us today? At the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Just as Jesus had given authority to the 72, Jesus promised to give that authority to all who follow him and obey his instruction to make disciples of all nations. And that's happened across the ages since and will continue for the ages to come. And it includes our age. Furthermore, he has promised to be with us in this mission through the authority and empowering of God the Holy Spirit. I emphasize again that mission is God's work, to be done in His power and in His way. If we feel inadequate to this task, actually that isn't a bad thing. It's good. Because when we recognize our inadequacy, then we recognize our total dependence on God to provide. As Paul the Apostle later wrote, "When I am weak, then I am strong." So it's good to recognize our weakness and our inadequacy, because then we depend on God. So what has this story in its aftermath to tell us 2,000 years later? Well, let's think back to what Jesus said in verse 2 of Luke 10. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out harvesters into his harvest field." Today, despite all the challenges of a largely secular, sceptical society, this command and promise still holds true. Believe it or not, the harvest is plentiful. The Lord is calling us to offer ourselves as his harvesters, not in our own strength or on our own initiative, but in his strength, with his authority, and in the power and provision of the Holy Spirit. And this is not just for a gifted few, but a call given to all of us with all our different personalities and gifts. We are all different, and God will use us in our different ways. So how can we do this? I want to use this opportunity to introduce an initiative that was developed by the Church of Scotland during lockdown. And while it was particularly relevant in lockdown, it is still relevant today as a way of becoming attuned to God's direction for us in our daily lives and in sharing the love of Christ. This is the initiative that goes by the acronym ACORN. I'm now going to show a short video that explains more about it and how we can all be ambassadors for God in our day-to-day lives. No matter how timid we might feel, God uses us all in our differing personalities and in differing ways as he enables us.
My name is Michael Harvey, and I want to introduce you to something called ACORN. It is a spiritual practice for such a time as this. It is a way to reach our neighbours when we cannot physically be in contact with them. This past week, I've been speaking to Jim, who's been using this process called ACORN, and he tells me how his church has been renewed by using it. I was speaking to Vivian, who was telling me about an interaction that she had with a Muslim lady just this very week, establishing a deeper connection. And also I've been speaking to lots of others who have been using this ACORN process for deep connection. And it's based on a missiologist called Vincent Donovan, who wrote a book called Christianity Rediscovered. He said, "We make the mistake as Christians of thinking we're taking God with us into any given situation. God is already there. Our job is to find out what God is doing and join God in that conversation. For such a time as this, to join God in a conversation that is already going on in our society. This is a wonderful opportunity when we cannot physically connect. So all is not lost. Let me take you through ACORN. So every single one of these letters of the word ACORN has a word attached to it. It's a mnemonic. It's a way of remembering the process. So the A of the ACORN is ask. And so every single day we ask God, is there somebody, God, is nudging us to connect with this very day. Gracious God, who do you want me to connect with? Lord, who is it today that you've got on my agenda? If only we could ask God on a regular daily basis, is there somebody today you want me to deeply connect with? The C of the acorn is call. When we ask God, is there somebody God is nudging us to connect with? God will often call us back. And that might be immediate, right at that particular moment, or it might be as we're just going about our daily work within our homes. All of a sudden, the name of somebody pops into our minds, or a picture, you just get a sense this is the person that God is nudging us to connect with. Then what we do is we obey that nudge. We obey that call. And how do we do it in this situation where we cannot physically kind of meet somebody? Well, we've got this incredible, for some of us, new technology. We can FaceTime people. We can Zoom people. We can connect with them by WhatsApp video. We can even pick up the phone. We can even do something like that. And what do we do in the obey stage? Well, we just basically kind of ask a very, very simple question. You know, how are you doing? I mean, really, how are you doing? Remembering that this is a God invitation. God has called you to connect with this person. So then we become a detective. How are you doing? Really, how are you doing? We obey. And you know, when we obey in this way and we listen, we provide that listening presence so that we become Christ in that situation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we listen carefully. And again, as prompted by God, maybe it goes a little bit further than that. Maybe we offer to pray for them right at that moment. Maybe we say, well, I will be praying for you. But sometimes it's just good to be a listening presence. And people are going to be so anxious and concerned and worried at this time. To have people who are deeply connecting with them, especially as God is sending us, that is going to be a major boon right at this time. So the next thing we do is we report. We report back. It's very important in this process that we testify to what God is doing. So why not, you know, pick up the phone to a Christian friend and actually tell them what God did in that particular conversation. You know, how you found the presence of God. We report. And again, that's what the Acts of the Apostles are really all about, is reports on the activity of God in that society at that time. We report. And the final bit of ACORN is we notice God. You know, we notice God. We notice that God actually has always wanted to call us, but we've perhaps been too busy. And now that our lives have been interrupted, now God can get our full attention. We may notice that when we obey, that we somehow sense, we feel the presence of God within the conversation. And in the report, we try and kind of work out what God is doing in us as well as through us. You know, when we do this process, you know, we plant an acorn. And this is not the only time to do it. Let's do this on a daily basis. Lord, who do you want me to connect with today? And you know, one of the most incredible things in nature is that, you know, once an acorn buries itself in the ground, you know, often oak trees appear. And it may take some time, but it's just such a reminder of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I, Paul, planted an invitation or a God conversation. Apollos came along and nurtured and watered that which I, Paul, had planted. But in the end, it's God that gives the increase. May God bless you in this process. And may through this process and all that you are doing, may his church grow in our nation and in our nations at this time.
Thank you. There's another slide which just summarises that. And I'll be putting this in the magazine this for this coming month, and a little bit of blurb just to remind us what it is. But the key part of this approach is to ask God for his direction each day and listen to his response and his call and then obey, trusting him to provide everything we need as a church and as individuals to follow his call. And I think by doing this each day, every one of us will be active ambassadors for God. And this will be manifest in many ways. That was developed during COVID. We now have a lot more freedom again, of course. So actually the way it can be manifest is going to be much wider than envisaged then. But it's exactly the same principles apply today. If we follow this as a way of life, it can be a reminder to turn to God each day. And then who knows where the Lord will take us and what will result. We do know, however, that we will be a living part of God's plan to build his kingdom here in Kemnay and across our grouping and indeed across the world. I pray that we will respond to God's challenge to go and make disciples of all nations by learning to ask him each day for his direction and sharing our experiences with each other. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, which is about sharing. It's called Colours of Day. This one we have sung before, but not for a long time. So it's nice to bring them up again. Colours of Day.
As our late Queen Elizabeth has shown by her example, we pray that leaders throughout the world may have the integrity of heart that she had. we ought to be grateful that, unlike so many countries, we live in freedom. We pray for King Charles that he may follow his mother's example, and that our new Prime Minister and her government will govern wisely and defend our Christian freedom throughout our world. We think of countries who are having such difficult times. The floods in Italy, the people who have disappeared there, the typhoons forecast in Japan, the droughts in many countries where people are hungry. Our hearts and prayers are with the families in Ukraine who have lost loved ones, and where mass graves of tortured victims of the Russian forces are being found. We pray for those at home whose bills for their homes are rising above their means. And we pray that the greed of those companies and individuals may be overcome. We pray for all those involved in the meticulous planning of the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth, taking place tomorrow. And we pray for all those involved over the last weeks of the queues of people who wish to pay their respects to our late Queen. Let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. Our closing hymn is "We Rest on Thee, Our Shield and Our Defender." We rest on God for absolutely everything, not just for mission, but for every part of our lives. And I think the ACORN initiative really encourages us daily to put our hope in Him and rest on Him. So let's stand and sing "We Rest on Thee."
Thank you.
Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Lord, we praise you that you are with us to the very end of the age. May we hear your call, may we obey, and may we go out and be your ambassadors in this world, around Kemeny and much further afield as you lead us. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit will fill us and that we'll know your love and your glory from now and forevermore. Amen.